Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right. Tonight, we're going to be taking a look at some scripture that is very seldom ever taught in our churches. I'm going to be speaking to you tonight from 1 John chapter. I'll give you a minute to get there because I also have something else I want to share with you. And that is, you know, we don't really understand and preach about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and really understand that we know who and what he is. Most of us understand that he came as the Son of Almighty God. But what we have not understood down through the years, as things changed, that he is actually God. We haven't really understood just what has been given for you and I so that we could have eternal life. And that's like what I've been going through now for the last, 10 or so days with this illness. And it was caused by an error. Not sin as far as the things I was doing was sin, but it was things that I should have been doing that I was not doing. And that was, I was not staying in the Word of God, studying as much as I should have been. And of course, Satan, he had to come along with his temptations and all. And the Lord seemed fit to let me know what my error was. And he has been letting me learn and understand really what I had been missing. Since this illness come upon me, I have read 2/3 of the New Testament. Think about that. And see, if I had have been studying as I should have been, I'd read all right. But I'd read maybe a chapter and then lay the Bible down and for the rest of the day. I'd think about it and I'd even pray several times a day. But still, I was not giving him the time that I should have been given him. I'm sharing this with you all because I want you to know and to understand what needs to be done. And before I get into our scripture tonight, I've got something else here to share with you. So if you want to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1 with me. Because I do want all to understand what I'm talking about. And so you know that it's not me in my word, that it is God's word. All right. If you're there or close, here's what I want to share with you. Because it is about the deity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Beginning with verse 1 of chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 2. The same was in the beginning with God. Things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, this is letting you and I know, because He's telling us Himself, that in the beginning was the Word. And that Word was God. And we know that we are told in several places about this, how the Word was made flesh to dwell among man. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. And it was that. And God's way of coming into the world to make the changes that was needed in order that you and I could have eternal life. And those that will walk in and with the Word of God, keeping His commandments, we can walk and will walk in newness of life that gives you and I life more abundant. Now, we are told in God's Word to pray to the Father. And we're told to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Because, you see, there is more to God than what most understand or believe or even know. We are also told that God, that there is three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And the Lord our God has dealt with mankind with all three of these names. He began in the beginning as God the Creator and the Father, walking with Adam and them until they fell. And then there was years He dealt with mankind as God the Father. And He came along with Moses, called Moses, and gave him the law, which brought the knowledge of sin to mankind. Because, you see, until that time, mankind had no knowledge of sin. And he really didn't know how to walk with God. So there was that time period that even though his life wasn't pleasing to God, God had not held all of that against him. And we can see that as we study the Old Testament and the Old Scripture. Because you see, we've been given something a whole lot different and a whole lot better. Now, from the time that God gave Moses the law until the Lord Jesus Christ, mankind didn't keep that law. Yet, they had knowledge of right and wrong. But they were on their own. They didn't have what you and I have been given today. This is some of it is what we're going to be getting into tonight. Because you see, when the Lord our God became flesh and dwelt on this earth, mankind didn't treat him good either. But he came for a purpose because he loved us. You see, we're not the children of God because we loved him. We can become the children of God because he loved you and I. And he made a way for things to happen, to give us the life he wanted us to live and to have. I want you to think about this. I want you to think hard about it, because I want you to look at yourself and to see what you may be missing out on because of lack of understanding. And I want you to figure how you can get more time. Don't do what I just done. Because if you do, you will face some chastisement. And that's not fun. I can tell you that for a fact. Now, you see, when he came and died on that cross, that was God giving his life for you and I. He went back to heaven after being resurrected. You see, the days he was in that tomb, or that his body was in that tomb, really he wasn't there. He had went to hell. He went to hell so you and I wouldn't have to go. And he took the keys of hell away from Satan until time of judgment is come about. Now, with his resurrection, he prepared his apostles for what was about to take place, which was Pentecost. He sent them to the upper room to wait. And he told them why. He told them to go to that upper room and to wait until they was endued with power from on high. They was to wait there until he ascended back to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit back to live within each one of those that were true believers and those that would walk and keep his commandments. Think about that. But what has mankind done? Mankind has spent his time in doing exactly what he wanted to do instead of spending time in prayer. You need to set aside a time because you and I are to make the Lord first in our life, above everything else, above our work, above our wives, above our kids, everything. But most of us don't. We have him playing second to a lot of things. And you know, something else that I learned that I have just begun doing. When you go to bed at night, tell the Father you love him. Tell the Lord Jesus Christ you love him. Tell the Holy Spirit you love him. Tell God you love the Word and you love spending time in the Word. You love teaching and talking about the Word and about the Lord Jesus Christ. But be sure, as you're telling these things, that these things are really coming from your heart. They're not just words. They are coming from the heart. They are meant. And then, time. Make time when you start your day. If it has to be early, then let it be early. For prayer and for study of God's Word. Never pick up the Holy Bible for study until you have prayed, asking God to open your heart and mind to be receptive unto the Word, and that the Holy Spirit help you to bring that into your life, living it as it is meant to be lived, and that you teach nothing contrary to it. And then spend some time in that Word. Don't aim to get in and out in 10 or 15 minutes, but spend some time in it and meditate as you read and study it, and ask God, Lord, what does this verse really mean? What do you want me to receive of this Word? And he'll tell you. He'll talk to you. He'll talk to you by the Spirit. That's why the Spirit was given to us, to live in us. You see, when the apostles were even walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, and let me share something else here with you. As they were walking with him, they were not filled with the Holy Spirit. Only he was. Only him. But the Holy Spirit, the Lord, had the Holy Spirit walking beside them, which was giving them the power to do what he would send them to do. But he wasn't in them to do just anything they wanted done until the day of Pentecost. And it was on that day that those in that upper room, that 120 in that upper room, were all filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. You see, and as we grow, we are all sinners. We were born with that sin nature. And we walk with it until we realize that we need something more than we have, and that we need something more than we are, and that we need a Savior. And then we go to the Lord Jesus Christ. He not only forgives and covers our sins with his blood, but he has made arrangements for you and I to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Now, at the time, you may not be far enough along in understanding to actually be filled with the Holy Spirit, but he's there beside you, still guiding you, still leading you. And he's there to take you through anything that the Lord will ask of you. And then as you grow in knowledge and you get to the point to where you are able to receive that infilling, the Lord will see that you have it. And we all need to be seeking for the fire of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God and asking him to put gifts of the Spirit into our lives, in our ministry. Because you see, we all do have a ministry. Every born-again child of God has a ministry. We're not all preachers, no. We're not all pastors, no. But we are all to share God's word. And they tell me, well, you see, now you believe that way, so you're bound to believe that women can be pastors. No. I don't, because it's against the word of God. But they do have a ministry. And God tells them what it is. The older women are to teach the younger women how to care for their husbands and to teach the children and to care for the home. The younger women's ministry is to do what the older women has taught them to do, is to love and to care and be that helpmate for their husbands, and to help teach the children about the Lord Jesus Christ, about his word. Sit down and study with them. And to take care of the home. And when they do that, they don't have time then to do our work. Because those that have been called into the ministry, you know as well as I do, that if we really walk in this word of God, we do not have time, nor the will, nor even the want to walk in the ways of this world out here that can only drag you down, because that's what it will do. Now, we're going to get into our scripture now, and we're going to see if what I have not been talking to you about if we can't find a lot of it in it. So you know that it's not just me, that it is the Spirit of Almighty God as he guides me. Now, chapter 2, pardon me just a moment. Chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Verse 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You know, when you really take a look at those verses, because they have been used and used wrongly, because they're being used in a lot of our churches today to tell mankind, you see, you can't live your life without sin in it. And that if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We do, until we become that child of God. He's talking about our walk before we become that born-again child of the living God. And we'll be getting into all this before this series is over. We're going to be getting into this so that you'll really understand what I am speaking of. Now, we do know that he is the propitiation of mine and your sins. We know that. And we know that he forgives our sins up to the time that we really and truly become his child. Now, there are still things, even after we become his child, to learn. Because, you see, that's why he's calling you and I children. It's because we are not yet far enough along that we have that understanding that is needed to become mature, or as the scripture tells us in places, complete in Jesus. That's why for a period of time, it could be a short time. Could be a very short time. And in my years of seeing things, I've only seen one that actually received baptism in water and actually baptism in the Holy Spirit the same time. But they had spent years in church and in the study of God's word to where God could give that one the understanding that was needed. But I've only seen it one time. Not in my life. I didn't receive it all at once. Even though I knew God had called me. I knew I was called. But I did not receive it all. And let me tell you something. There was a lot of lessons I had to learn. And there is still a lot of lessons I am learning. But I have learned enough that I knew the Holy Spirit and what his job was and how he would operate with me, what he would do for me and what he would do with me so I could be used in order to do God's work. All right, now, let's go on here, verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. We know him if we keep his commandments. Are you really keeping his commandments? Do you even know what some of the most important commandments are? Most likely not. Because if you did, you wouldn't take as much pleasure out of this world as what you're taking out of it. Because you see, this is something else that I can attest to. This world has no meaning for me, and that's truth. The only thing that I want out of this world is just what it takes for me to sustain this life here on earth until the Lord Jesus Christ is finished with me and calls me home. That's the way we are all supposed to walk. John, in his writing to these people, he writes to the readers, letting them know not to sin. And he's also letting them know the characteristics of genuine knowledge of God and about obedience to his commandments. And we know this is actually a major teaching of Jesus as John taught about him in the four Gospels. Also in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. This young apostle, John, was not one to pull punches. He would give it to us just like the Spirit gave it to him to share. Just like with Paul. All of these men in their writings gave us what the Spirit of God gave to them. Now here in verse 4, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. When we are breaking the commandments of God, and we are going contrary to his word, in God's eyes, when we say that we are his, we are a liar. Think about it. You see, just speaking good things don't make us the children of God. It's those things and the way we live our lives. Are you really living it by the word of God? And I mean all of the word of God. And every time you learn something new, do you ask the Lord to forgive you for not knowing that? And then bring that into your life, adding it to it. Because you see, that's what we need to do. That's why we need to spend so much time in prayer and in the Word of God. Because we are to have a relationship with God, not just a few moments, but it is to be a living relationship that should be stronger than any other relationship we have. Even the relationship we have with our wives should not even come close to comparing to the relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Always looking up, always looking and wishing and wanting for the day that we can be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, I want to be here as long as Jesus wants me here, and as long as he will use me to help others to come to a saving knowledge of him and to help them receive the knowledge and the truth of his word so that they too can have eternal life and make heaven their home. And how much time do we really spend in trying to help our families? Truly, I want you to examine yourself. How much time are you really giving and trying to get your family into a church that will teach his word as it is written and help them find the light, and that light being Jesus? Or do you just sit back because they don't want to go and just say, well, they don't want to go, so I'll just let it go. They don't want to go to church, so I'm not going to insist on it, or I'm not going to do much about it. I'll just let them have their way. No. You see, we are to love them dearly. We're even told that we are to give our lives for others. But how much are we really given to get that one into church, to get that one into the Word of God? Or just because that one says no, we're letting it ride. One day, we'll stand to answer for that, and their blood could be on our hands. Now, in verse 5 here, he says, but whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. You hear everyone, and in most all your churches, will tell you, there is none perfect, no, not one. Only Jesus was perfect. But you see, that's not truth. That is what you and I are supposed to come to, is that spiritual perfection. And we can only do that through the guidance and the help of the Holy Spirit, and that being done in Jesus. That is it. That's the only way. He is the way. But we need that help in order to get there of the Holy Spirit. That's why we have it. Now, says, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. You see, when we can reach that point in him, then we know beyond any doubt that we are in him. Verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him, of himself also to walk even as he walked. What about it? He's talking about how Jesus walked during his earthly days. And I want to show you what mankind does to the Word of God when they go to playing with it. I have what is known as a teacher's Bible. And as you study God's Word and you study it with the Spirit, you have to watch the notes, even in it. I want to read what it has got about this sixth verse. Even as he walked refers to Jesus' earthly days, which he did, that part. While no one can or need duplicate Jesus' atoning ministry, he's telling you that no one can or even need to. Now, Jesus also tells you and I, he says, all that believe in me, these things I do, greater than these will they do. And he tells you even why. He says, because I go back to the Father. And then he sent us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to give us the power to do exactly that. So you see, we have to watch what we accept by mankind. Because his word tells you and I exactly, didn't it? His word tells us, he that saith, he abideth in him. All of us that say we are in Jesus, we love him, we are of him, ought also so to walk even as he walked. He's telling you, if you are claiming to be a child of God, not only can you do it, but you're also supposed to be doing it. Think about it. Now, verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. You see, we can walk that way because we have been given God's commandments and under the New Testament, which is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that is the New Testament. And this word has become his commandments. And we no longer have to walk in darkness. Because once we come to that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and we accept him and we bring him into our lives, we invite him in, and he's let you and I know that when we ask him in, he'll come. and he'll make his abode in us. So we have all of the deity of the Godhead living within us. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit all living within us when we are born again. And according to God's word, not man's, but God's word, you and I that are born again cannot sin. Oh, how many churches have I just contradicted? It's telling me I can't live without sin in my life. You know, against God's word. And telling a born-again child of God that he can continue committing sin and can continue being forgiven for those sins. The only sin you and I can be forgiven for as a born-again child of God is one that we have not known. Once a sin becomes known, we cannot be a partaker of it because we have no more forgiveness of it. And that's God's word. And we may be getting into that in our next study. I don't know whether we'll get that far or not, but it's coming very shortly. Playing church is only going to get you in trouble. Playing church will get you in trouble that you may not even be able to get out of. Because you see, playing church, you've accepted a lot of things that has been taught to you in deceivement, where Satan has got into our churches and have been leading them to teach things that are not so and that is contrary to the word of Almighty God. We all need to really take a good look at ourselves. And if that's what has happened to you, then I'm asking you to find you a place to where you can be alone with the Lord. Seek him. Spend some time with him. And ask him to forgive you and to guide you in the right way. And do it in truth and honesty. And he will, because the things you have been accepting to that point has been done in ignorance. And then seek you a church, a place that is teaching the truth of God's word, not going contrary to it. And it's not hard to see a lot of our churches that is contrary to the word of God. Those that will teach you that you really baptism doesn't mean anything for your salvation. It's just symbolic. Leave that church alone. Those that tell you you can't live your life without sin in it, leave that church alone. Those that tell you that a born-again child of God can commit sin, leave it alone. These churches out here with these women pastors, leave them alone. Those that will baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Have that baptism redone. Because you see, that was John's baptism. All you have to do is sit down and read the book of Acts, which is actually where the beginning of the church age starts, after the day of Pentecost, and how things changed for you and I, and the things that you and I are to live by and to live under. And you're going to find a lot of difference. Find you a church that will teach you just what God says. Take nothing out of context, because you can take it out of context just like they do. They use those two verses, the 1 John chapter 2, because they'll read that to you and they'll say, see, he's telling you right there that you can just keep on sinning, because if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the perpetuation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And they'll tell you, see, that's to let you know that he'll, if you sin, he'll just keep forgiving you. No, because when you reach that point of becoming a child of God, everything has changed. And things will change with baptism. We are told in the second chapter of Acts, when Peter come out of that upper room, filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, preaching one of the greatest sermons in the Bible. And at the end of it, those that were touched, asking what they must do in order to be saved, to have that eternal life, to have the Lord Jesus. He told them. And he told them to repent, which means turn away from your sins. You don't just confess them, but you turn away from them also. And he tells them to be baptized in Jesus' name. Because you see, that is the way we own. When you really understand what baptism is all about, and see what God says about it. Not man, but what God says about it. And you find that in the 6th chapter of Romans. Tells you exactly what is happening to you at baptism. But we're going to stop here. And the Lord willing, picking up there and going on through the word of Almighty God. As I told you, here in the last week, I have read 2/3. I have spent enough time to have read 2/3 of the New Testament, because God let me know I was not spending enough time in the study. Are you? Because if you're not, you can be chastised, just like I have been. Now, God didn't give me this sickness. God put sickness on no man. But sometimes he lets us keep it a little longer in order to teach us an era of our ways will bring. I thank him for it. I praise him for it. Because these last several days, I have really gained so much more. And I want all of you, each one to hear me, to understand what I'm talking about, and for you to be able to receive and to know exactly these things that is needed. All right. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word this evening, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for these times that we can come together to share your word. And Father, this is the starting of the evening hours, and we do love you. We love the Lord Jesus. We love the Holy Spirit. We love your word. Father, we love teaching your word. We love, Father, that we can walk filled with your love toward our brothers and all mankind, that we can be used to be of help to them, Father, to help them find the light so that they no longer would have to walk in darkness. Now, Father, for the saints, wherever they are in the world, we know a lot of them walk in places to where if they're caught will mean imprisonment and even death. Now, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and to see to their needs. And Father, for Israel, Jerusalem, we pray for peace for them, for we know that right now they have very little peace. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. And Father, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, a land that had no excuse whatsoever, that took the Lord Jesus Christ out of every place he was in, not even wanting his people to use his name in prayer to replace those that are in our government that has brought so much evil upon our people. Help us to remove them from office and to replace them, Father, with ones that will stand with you and with the church and with the Lord Jesus Christ, working with us to put him back into every place he's been taken out of, back into all of our land, Father, making him the head of this land. And once again, our land to repent of its evil. And may the Holy Spirit help us with those in our government to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being upon your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, our prayer list tonight, we ask the Holy Spirit as each name is spoken, may he touch that one to fulfill whatever need they have, whether that need be spiritual, physical, or financial. Terry Copes, Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Sister B, my daughter Cindy, all of our families, our children, our grandchildren and great-grandchildren, that none Father, continue to walk in darkness, but that the Holy Spirit can help them to find light, and that light being, that light, Father, being Jesus Christ. For Dennis Breeden, Father, for the brothers in Christ, and Father, for Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, for Pastor Randy Johnson and the Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hill, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, these churches, make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand. Fill them to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, so that there'll not be any wrong teaching in them. Fill these pastors to overflowing, so that living waters will flow from them, Father, and that they can keep these churches on the pathway of righteousness. Now, Father, for my nephew, Ben Allen, he's been bedfast now, Father, for many years. Father, we know that you can bring him out of that bed. You can set him on his feet to where he can lead his family along the pathway of righteousness. Father, Pastor Eric, his wife Jackie, that little full gospel church of God there at Akron. Father, I pray that you can keep a man in that little church that will keep it filled with the Holy Spirit and make it a place of refuge to where the ones walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus Christ. And for my friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, keep them safe. Keep them in health. And may the Holy Spirit guide them, keeping them always in the truth of that gospel. For Millie and Bobby Johnson, Father, I ask the Holy Spirit to work with those two. Get them back into church. Get them back on the right pathway, Father. Now, Father, be with us all throughout this night. Keep us safe, Father, now into Sunday morning. And help us all, Father, to be able to be in church come Sunday morning and once again back into your word and back with the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ greatly in our lives. Father, this is my prayer tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And God bless.